In 2001, a routine blood test saved her life and introduced the world to a mystery. A 54-year-old French-Caribbean woman from Guadeloupe was preparing for surgery in Paris when doctors discovered an antibody no one could classify. For years, the case lay dormant until, in 2019, cutting-edge DNA sequencing unraveled a genetic mutation that rewrote our understanding of blood. This woman is now the only known person on Earth with a newly recognized blood type, Guada negative, named for her homeland. It's the world's 48th blood group system and a discovery that challenges medical science. She can only receive blood from herself. Transfusions for anyone with Guada negative would require her alone. French scientists with the Établissement Français du Sang presented their findings in Milan in June 2025, explaining the role of a PIGZ gene mutation in anchoring a unique antigen. This rare genetic twist has opened new frontiers in transfusion medicine, and researchers are now searching among the Guadeloupe population for others who may share her legacy. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. It was 1901 in Vienna when Karl Landsteiner, a curious Austrian scientist, first noticed something strange in the lab. He was mixing blood from different people, and while some samples blended harmlessly, others clumped together, a deadly reaction later known as agglutination. Landsteiner had stumbled upon the foundation of modern transfusion science, the ABO blood group system. His discovery won a Nobel Prize and laid the groundwork for safe blood transfusions. But the deeper scientists looked into the red fluid that sustains life, the more complex it became. Over the next century, blood typing expanded far beyond A, B, A, B, and O. The Rh system followed in the 1940s after studies on rhesus monkeys uncovered yet another antigen that could trigger rejection. By the turn of the 21st century, researchers had identified over 300 known blood group antigens, cataloged into more than 45 systems. Each system represents a different genetic signature, an invisible identity card embedded within our cells. But even with this massive body of knowledge, there were signs that the story wasn't finished. Blood and identity. Blood types are inherited, passed from parent to child through specific genes that control the proteins and sugars on the surface of red blood cells. These antigens determine compatibility, not just for transfusions, but sometimes even in organ transplants and pregnancies. A mismatch can cause a mother's immune system to attack her unborn child. A botched transfusion can trigger kidney failure, shock, or death. Most people know their ABO and Rh type. Fewer realize they carry a complex web of lesser-known blood markers, some of which are so rare that they are only found in isolated populations. In parts of Africa, Asia, and the Caribbean, scientists occasionally come across what they call blood type anomalies. Markers that don't match any existing classification. But anomalies rarely rewrite textbooks. Most turn out to be variations of known systems or false positives. That is, until 2001, when a routine test in Paris flagged something no one had ever seen. A woman from Guadeloupe. She was a 54-year-old woman from Guadeloupe, a French overseas territory in the Caribbean. Her case wasn't unusual at first. She was scheduled for elective surgery in France, and, as with all major procedures, a cross-match test was done to ensure safe blood availability. Cross-matching works like this. A sample of the patient's blood is mixed with donor blood to check for any reaction. The test flagged a strange antibody, one that didn't react to any known antigen in the French blood banks. Doctors were puzzled. The patient had no history of transfusions, no pregnancies that might explain an immune sensitization. The antibody wasn't dangerous to her, but posed a problem. They couldn't find any compatible donor blood. None. The woman was told she could only receive her own blood. Autologous donation was the only option. She gave 2 pints before surgery. Doctors froze them. Her operation went ahead successfully, but the mystery lingered for years. The importance of rare blood. Across the world, rare blood types are more than a scientific curiosity. They are a logistical nightmare. In France, the Établissement Français du Sang, EFS, maintains a national registry of rare blood donors. If a patient has a rare antigen profile, they may need blood flown in from another country. For example, the U-negative type found in some African populations is extremely rare. Only a few hundred people globally can donate to others with that profile. Another is the Bombay phenotype discovered in India, which lacks the H antigen found in almost every human's blood. To be clear, rare doesn't always mean dangerous, but it does mean isolation. For people with ultra-rare types, emergencies are terrifying. Even a car crash or childbirth could become lethal without compatible blood. So, when French scientists at the EFS returned to the Guadeloupe woman's sample in 2017, more than a decade later, they knew they had to look deeper. A genetic puzzle. Advances in genome sequencing allowed the team to dig where older tools couldn't. By mapping the DNA related to her red blood cell structure, they discovered a mutation in a gene called PIGZ, a gene involved in attaching proteins to the surface of red cells. What they found was shocking. A previously unclassified antigen. Something entirely new. Not just a variation of a known system, but a structural anchor for a unique blood marker. It was a glitch in the human blueprint. One the woman carried naturally, silently, for her entire life. This was not just a mutation. It was a new system. The 48th blood group system, officially recognized by the International Society of Blood Transfusion, ISBT, in 2024. They named it ERY-47 after the erythrocyte, or red blood cell, classification system. But informally, in whispers among scientists and on Caribbean social media, it quickly earned a new name. Guadanegative. Gesine Eis Bokurister. Cultural reverberations. In Guadeloupe, the news was met with awe, pride, and a touch of unease. For a population often overlooked in scientific studies, it was both shocking and affirming to learn that someone among them carried a global genetic outlier. Some local radio stations interviewed doctors from France. Others joked about it in Creole, imagining a superblood born in the tropics. But for public health officials, the discovery was serious business. If this woman had the mutation, others in her family might too. Could there be a community of silent carriers across the Caribbean? The French medical community began to coordinate with local blood banks in Guadeloupe to screen for the ERY-47 marker. Early tests suggest it is extremely rare, but not unique. One or two potential partial matches have surfaced. but none yet confirmed with the full antigen profile. The race was on to find another. A scientific legacy begins. Landsteiner didn't live to see the 48 system, but his legacy continues in every twist of this new chapter. Blood is not just red liquid, it's genetic poetry, a language of immunity, ancestry, and evolution. What the woman from Guadeloupe carries is not just a blood type, it is a biological fingerprint of her people's journey, from West Africa to the Caribbean, through slavery, colonization, and survival. Her blood is history. And now, it's also the frontier of science. It was a Monday morning in Paris, early spring 2001. The hospital corridors at Saint-Antoine were already humming with routine. The woman from Guadeloupe, her name kept private in every document, was being prepped for surgery. Nothing dramatic, a gynecological procedure. She had flown to the capital for treatment, as many from the French Antilles do, trusting in the mainland's advanced medical care. As part of protocol, the hematology department began pre-operative cross-matching, the vital process of ensuring the blood available for transfusion would be compatible. It's a step most patients never think about. For her, it became the center of a global mystery. An unexpected reaction. Lab technician Sandrine Maillot noticed it first. When the patient's blood was mixed with a routine panel of donor cells, agglutination, a dangerous clumping reaction, occurred in every vial, all of them. No match. In clinical terms, this meant the patient's serum contained an antibody reacting to an unknown antigen present on virtually all donor red blood cells. Yet, when they tested her blood against itself, there was no reaction. She was her own safe donor. Doctors suspected a rare antibody, possibly autoimmune, but the woman had no history of transfusions, no recent infections, no signs of hemolytic disease. She was in perfect health, at least by all traditional means. The cold shelf case. Lacking a proper explanation, doctors prepared for the only safe course, autologous transfusion. She donated her own blood in advance of surgery, which was frozen and stored. The operation was completed successfully, with no complications. But the case stuck in the minds of a few hematologists at the Établissement Français du Sang, EFS, France's Central Blood Service Authority. They logged her file under rare antibodies and placed a flag, incompatible with all panel cells, no known antigen correlation. The file was shelved, literally, for years. It would take nearly two decades and a new generation of sequencing tools before someone would look at it again. The clue no one understood. At the heart of the case was the unknown antibody. In medical terms, it functioned as an allo antibody, an immune response targeting foreign antigens. But what antigen? Every attempt to identify it using commercial antigen panels failed. It was a frustrating enigma. Antibodies typically fall into families. Scientists know where they belong. They latch onto specific sugars or proteins on red blood cells, triggering a measurable immune response. Think of them like keys looking for locks. The Guadeloupe woman's antibody? No lock fit. So what kind of key was this? When specialists attempted enzyme treatment on test cells, modifying them with Papon or Ficin to expose or remove certain blood antigens, the antibody still reacted. When they tested her against rare donor banks in Europe, North Africa, even Canada, the result was the same, complete incompatibility. It wasn't just a rare antibody, it was an impossible one. A needle in a global haystack. By 2015, the case found its way into the hands of Dr. Hélène Claquin and her team at EFS Pays de la Loire, one of France's leading rare blood research labs. They had recently collaborated on cases involving VEL negative and JK null phenotypes, extremely rare antigen profiles with limited donors worldwide. Claquin, familiar with such unmatched cases, took a personal interest in the Guadeloupe sample. She decided to run molecular testing, something that hadn't been available in 2001. They extracted DNA from the woman's archived blood and began scanning her erythrocyte-related genes, especially those involved in membrane anchoring and antigen expression. What they discovered was the key to the entire puzzle, a mutation in the PIGZ gene, never before documented in relation to blood antigens. What is the PIGZ gene? PIGZ isn't typically a headline maker in medical textbooks. It's part of the GPI anchor biosynthesis pathway, a group of genes that help attach proteins to the surface of red blood cells. These proteins, some small, some elaborate, are often the very antigens that antibodies recognize. In the Guadeloupe woman's DNA, PIGS was faulty. A single point mutation had altered the way a protein was tethered to the red cell membrane, resulting in a new surface structure, a novel antigen previously unseen by science. Because this mutated protein was absent from every blood bank sample tested and present only on her own cells, it explained the universal rejection. Her immune system recognized others' blood as foreign, but no one else's blood recognized hers as familiar. Her antibody wasn't against something added, it was against something missing. The ERY47 system is born. In 2024, after exhaustive peer review, the International Society of Blood Transfusion, ISBT, formally recognized the finding. It was designated the ERY47 system, short for erythrocyte system number 47. It became the 48th overall blood group system after inclusion of earlier systems like RH, KEL, MNS, and others. But among scientists, it quickly earned a more poetic name, Guada negative, a nod to the island that birthed it and to the absolute scarcity of compatible donors. The designation reflects both pride and peril. For now, she remains the only confirmed person in the world with this exact antigenic profile. Echoes in history, rare blood and isolation. Her story isn't the first of its kind. In 1952, in Bombay, India, doctors discovered people whose blood lacked the H antigen, the foundation of the ABO system. These patients could die if given any regular blood, even if matched for ABO and RH. Today, only a few dozen Bombay phenotype donors exist in the world. In a more recent case, a Colombian child was found to have a hybrid form of the Duffy antigen, unique to a small ethnic subgroup with African and indigenous roots. These cases are reminders that medical knowledge is always evolving and that ethnic diversity matters deeply in science. Guada negative is not just a discovery. It is a call to expand our databases, to study underrepresented populations, and to invest in diversity-based medical research. Emotion in the lab. What no data set captures is the emotional weight of such a discovery. Doctors who worked on the case have described it with reverence. Some quietly refer to the woman's blood as singular, not in the clinical sense, but with something close to awe. The woman herself has remained mostly private, but reports suggest she has accepted her status with a calm dignity. In interviews conducted anonymously by French journalists, she is described as warm, spiritual, and quietly proud. She often jokes, "I always knew I was different. Now science agrees." The next chapter. The case set off a chain reaction. EFS launched a campaign to screen donors of Caribbean descent, especially from Guadeloupe and Martinique. So far, they have identified two potential matches who may carry partial genetic similarities, but none with the full PIGZ mutation. The search continues. With it, the hope that this woman will one day not be alone. But for now, she is a living singularity, a reminder that human biology still holds secrets, even in the era of supercomputers and genome editing. For centuries, medicine relied on the microscope, what the eye could see and what the hands could feel. Blood was tested through cross-matching and microscope slides, antibodies through reactions in test tubes. But by the 21st century, a new tool emerged that changed everything: DNA sequencing. This chapter isn't about a single machine or test. It's about a revolution, the genomic lens through which scientists now view the human body. And in the case of the Guadeloupe woman with the mysterious blood type, it was this lens that brought the invisible into full focus. What lies beneath the surface? Until the mid-2010s, most blood typing relied on serological testing. This method detects antigens on red blood cells using known antibodies. If a patient's blood clumps when mixed with anti-A, for example, they have A antigens. The method works well for common cases. But what if the antigen isn't known? What if the antibody reacts with everything and no known antigen explains it? Serology, in that case, becomes blind. That's exactly what happened in the case of the woman from Guadeloupe. Serology said something was wrong, but couldn't say what. So, in 2017, her file landed in the hands of researchers at the Établissement Français du Sang, EFS, who had begun applying next-generation sequencing, NGS, to rare blood cases. Their goal was not to guess, it was to map the blueprint, cracking the code. The scientists focused on red blood cell membrane genes, those responsible for producing the proteins that stick to the cell surface and form recognizable blood antigens. Using a method called whole exome sequencing, they scanned the 1% of the genome that codes for proteins. This area, while small, holds the vast majority of medically relevant mutations. Among the many genes they studied, one stood out, PIGZ. At first glance, the gene seemed irrelevant. It didn't appear on any of the standard blood typing maps. But PIGZ belongs to a family of genes responsible for GPI anchor synthesis. In simple terms, this family of genes helps proteins latch onto the cell membrane. Without them, those proteins either float in the bloodstream or never show up at all. And this woman's PIGZ gene, it had a novel mutation, a single-letter substitution in the DNA sequence that altered the gene's instructions. The change disrupted the way a surface protein was expressed, resulting in an entirely new blood antigen, from mutation to blood group. The discovery forced scientists to rethink what a blood group even was. Typically, a blood group is defined by the presence or absence of specific antigens on red cells, the ability to create an immune response if exposed to foreign versions of those antigens. In this case, the antigen was so unique, no one else had it, at least not among the thousands of samples tested across Europe and the French Caribbean. The patient's immune system had created an antibody to everything it perceived as different, which was every other red cell on file. Her antibody didn't attack something that was added to her blood. It defended what only she had. This new antigen, shaped by the pig's mutation, was given a formal classification, erythrocyte antigen 47. Her blood type, unofficially coined Guada negative, became the rarest known on Earth. Beyond classification. The implications of this breakthrough rippled far beyond a lab in Nantes or a file in Paris. Blood is not just about transfusion. It is about biological identity. DNA sequencing revealed that what made this woman unique wasn't an abnormality. It was a rare variation in the human story, one that science had simply never recorded before. The PIGS mutation is now part of global rare blood databases, and protocols are being updated across Europe to include screening for this anomaly in donors of Caribbean descent. It also forced a deeper philosophical realization. If a person can have a blood type no one has ever seen, what else remains hidden in the code? The cost of ignoring the margins. One critical lesson the Guada negative case teaches is the importance of inclusivity in genetic research. For decades, the majority of medical genetic studies focused on European populations. Minority groups, especially those from Africa, the Caribbean, and indigenous regions, were underrepresented. That gap led to blind spots in diagnosis, treatment, and compatibility testing. If this woman had lived her entire life in a system without advanced genetic resources, she might have received a mismatched transfusion during a trauma and died. Instead, the system caught her case by accident, and science took the rare opportunity to listen to what her blood had to say. It spoke volumes. Global implications. In June 2025, the discovery was formally presented at the International Congress of Blood Transfusion in Milan. Dr. Hélène Claquin and her team walked delegates through a 20-minute presentation that stunned the audience. What began as a single test in 2001 had become a globally recognized blood group system and the world's first classified through PIG Z-related antigenic mapping. The World Health Organization, WHO, took notice. Plans were proposed to fund a Caribbean-wide donor registry focused on ultra-rare blood types, encouraging genomic testing where standard serology fails. The Guadeloupe Ministry of Health began collaborating with local universities to launch educational campaigns. Citizens are now being invited to donate blood not just for hospitals, but for science and ancestry. The woman whose blood sparked it all is considered a living donor of one. Ethics and the individual. There's also an ethical side to this discovery. When a person becomes a medical singularity, they carry both opportunity and risk. Could her blood be used for research without consent? Would she be overwhelmed with medical requests in emergencies? Could her descendants, if any, face invasive scrutiny? For now, her identity is kept private. But as more genomic data is collected across the Caribbean, the chance of discovering others with a similar genetic profile increases. Scientists are watching closely because if a second or third match is found, it could confirm a regional mutation pattern unique to the French Antilles or even to Guadeloupe itself. That would elevate the ERY47 system from anomaly to ancestral legacy. Blood, memory, and evolution. In the end, the Guada negative case is more than a headline or scientific curiosity. It is a story about evolution, how the body keeps secrets, how DNA carries memory across centuries, and how even a single cell can change what we believe is possible. The woman's blood, marked by a mutation in a quiet gene, reminds us that science doesn't always find answers in the loudest signals. Sometimes the truth is whispered in the margins, in forgotten samples, overlooked regions, in rare individuals who carry the past in their veins. With DNA sequencing, we now have the tools to listen, and the voice of Guada negative is just the beginning. By 2024, the scientific world had a name for it, ERY47, the 48th officially recognized human blood group system. But inside labs, hospitals, and lecture halls, researchers and clinicians alike whispered a different name, one that echoed through the corridors of identity and origin, Guada negative. This wasn't just a new box to tick on a lab sheet. It was the first time a completely new blood group had been discovered in a French Caribbean woman, a testament to both scientific precision and the cultural gaps that still exist in global research. But what exactly makes Guada negative different? How do you define something so rare that it exists in only one known person on Earth? This chapter explores the structure, function, and implications of ERY47. From the Antigenic Blueprint to the biochemical implications of carrying a blood signature no one else shares. What makes a blood group? To understand ERY47, we must revisit what defines a blood group in the first place. Every blood group system is built around antigens, which are molecules present on the surface of red blood cells. These antigens are typically made up of proteins, carbohydrates, sugars, lipids. These components help your immune system recognize your own cells as self and anything foreign, like incompatible blood, as other. When someone receives a blood transfusion with incompatible antigens, their immune system treats it like an invasion. Antibodies attack, red cells rupture, and the result can be fatal. Each system is governed by a gene or set of genes that dictate which antigens appear and how they're structured. The ABO system, for instance, is controlled by the ABO gene on chromosome 9. The RH system by the RHD and RHCE genes. ERY47 is governed by a mutation in a gene few had linked to blood groups before, PIGZ. ERY47 and the PIGZ mutation. The PIGZ gene is part of a larger family responsible for the creation of GPI anchors, short for glycosylphosphatidylinositol. These anchors are like molecular Velcro, attaching certain proteins to the surface of red blood cells. In the Guadeloupe woman's case, A rare point mutation in her PIGZ gene altered the shape of the GPI anchor itself, changing how a surface protein was displayed, or rather, how it wasn't displayed in other people's cells. This mutation caused her immune system to see all other donor blood as incomplete or foreign. Everyone else's red cells lacked what hers had, this unique anchoring structure. As a result, she produced an antibody that attacked all other known donor cells. Imagine owning a key that fits only one lock, and that lock is inside your own body. This is what Guata negative represents, not an absence, but a presence of something singular. Classification among giants. To be formally recognized as a blood group system, a discovery must meet strict criteria set by the International Society of Blood Transfusion, ISBT. It must involve a gene distinct from all previously known blood groups. The gene must control a consistent, testable antigen on red blood cells. The antigen must be capable of eliciting an alloimmune response, AEG, the formation of antibodies after exposure to foreign blood. The discovery must be reproducible in more than one lab using modern genetic tools. The ERY-47 system met all these criteria. It became the 48th system, joining the ranks of well-known families like ABO, RH, MNS, Kell, Duffy, Kid, and the previously newest INRAE, discovered in 2018. But unlike these others, no donor match for ERY-47 has yet been found. Its extreme rarity makes it both a marvel and a medical concern. Compatibility and medical risk. The most urgent issue with Guata negative is transfusion compatibility. If the Guadeloupe woman were to suffer trauma, cancer, or require emergency surgery without previously stored autologous blood, she would face a life-threatening crisis. No blood bank, public or private, has units compatible with her type. This reality has led to special provisions. Her personal blood is cryopreserved in multiple secure locations in France. She is not allowed to donate blood to others for liability and safety concerns. Her genetic profile is flagged in national and EU databases under ultra-rare status. In essence, her life depends on her own body. The moment she cannot donate to herself, medicine has no alternative. That's a chilling and profound reality. Ancestral signature or one-off mutation? One question keeps haunting researchers. Is she the only one? So far, two individuals of Guadeloupean descent have shown partial antigenic overlap, suggesting that the PIGZ mutation or some related variation may exist within a micropopulation. The leading hypothesis is that this mutation may have originated through a genetic bottleneck, possibly during the island's colonial past, been preserved through isolated family lines, undetected due to limited transfusion testing in that region, remained hidden in other Caribbean populations with shared ancestry, especially those with West African genetic roots. If others are found with ERY-47 or a similar profile, it could mark Guata negative as a regional phenotype, one tied to the history and migration of enslaved African people to Guadeloupe and beyond. The blood of one woman could be the ancestral key to unlocking a broader genetic mystery. cultural identity through blood. Though science often prides itself on neutrality, the sociocultural dimension of ERY-47 cannot be ignored. In Guadeloupe, where identity is forged from the fusion of African, French, Indian, and indigenous Kalinago ancestry, this discovery carries emotional weight. Some see it as scientific validation of uniqueness. Others fear it reduces a person to a medical curiosity. On local radio stations and social media, people have begun calling her La Femme au Sang d'Or, the woman with the golden blood, not for wealth, but for uniqueness, for being irreplaceable. Community leaders are calling for increased genetic studies in French overseas territories, not only for blood typing, but for rare disease tracking and medical equity. There's a sense now, stronger than ever, that the Caribbean carries untold medical legacies, locked away in genes, untouched by mainstream research. Symbol of the future. What Guada Negative represents is the convergence of biology, culture, and future medicine. It is the kind of case that challenges our assumptions about human biology, exposes the limits of existing blood banks, encourages the expansion of genomic research to underrepresented populations, raises ethical questions about identity, privacy, and medical preparedness. But more than anything, it reminds us that within one body, a revolution can begin. The woman with the ERY-47 blood type may never meet another person like herself, or perhaps one day a match will appear through marriage records, ancestry databases, or a DNA sample collected in a clinic far from Paris. And when that happens, the world will expand again. Our map of blood and life will redraw itself just a little more. When news of the 48th blood group system reached Guadeloupe, it didn't spread like breaking news. There were no front page headlines, no flashing TV bulletins. It arrived quietly, first through medical networks, then through local whispers, and finally, it sparked something more than scientific interest. It stirred a kind of ancestral awakening. In Paris, the discovery of ERY-47, nicknamed Guada Negative, was viewed through the lens of clinical advancement. But in Guadeloupe, it meant something deeper, that the body of a Caribbean woman had changed the boundaries of science. This was not just a matter of biology, it was a matter of legacy. And for the people of Guadeloupe, that legacy was tied to centuries of migration, survival, and transformation. A blood type that carries a history. Guadeloupe is not just a dot on the map. It's a memory of forced voyages, creolization, survival in sugar plantations, and generations of resistance. The people here are descendants of Africans, Europeans, East Indians, and indigenous Kalinago. Their DNA is a mosaic, rich, complex, and understudied. So when a local woman was identified as having the world's rarest blood type, a quiet pride grew among some communities. "We always knew we were different," said one elder on local radio. "Now the scientists know it too." But with pride came urgent questions. If one person in Guadeloupe carried this blood type, how many others might have it without knowing? Could someone in the countryside, never hospitalized, be living with the same mutation? And if so, are they safe? Mobilizing the medical community. The French health authorities took these questions seriously. In early 2025, the Guadeloupe Regional Health Agency, ARS, partnered with the Établissement Français du Sang, EFS, to launch a campaign across the archipelago. Donner pour découvrir, donate to discover. For the first time, blood donation drives were being framed not just as public service, but as scientific exploration. Posters featured Afro-Caribbean faces smiling with pride beneath the words, Et si vous étiez le seul autre au monde? What if you were the only other in the world? Mobile labs were deployed to rural communities. DNA swabs were collected anonymously. Young people posted about the drives on Instagram and TikTok using the hashtag number sign Sanguada. At the Université des Antilles in Pointe-à-Pitre, biology students began tracking local genetic studies for the first time. The ERY47 case was now part of the medical curriculum, not as an abstract oddity, but as local history made cellular. Community dialogue between awe and anxiety. But not everyone received the news with open arms. In some communities, especially among older generations, the discovery raised deep-rooted anxieties. Questions about genetic surveillance, privacy, and involuntary tracking began to surface. Some wondered if this rare blood marker could be used to trace ancestry in ways they didn't consent to. Others worried about becoming subjects of unwanted scientific attention, labeled specimens instead of citizens. Local activists called for ethical guidelines, demanding that any data collected in Guadeloupe stay in Guadeloupe, protected, sovereign, and used only with full consent. They weren't rejecting science. They were demanding scientific respect. And the conversation spread from labs to schools, to churches, to family dinner tables. It wasn't just about blood. It was about who gets to define the meaning of our bodies. Reclaiming the narrative. While the scientists called it ERY47, the people called it Sangdeel, island blood, a term that captured both the scientific uniqueness and the cultural ownership of the discovery. Art exhibitions began to emerge. One sculpture in Basse-Terre featured a massive heart with veins branching across the Caribbean map. A poet in Les Abîmes wrote a collection titled Rouge Profond, Deep Red, dedicated to the woman whose blood had no match. On radio, a popular talk show discussed whether Guada negative could be the result of selective evolution, shaped by isolation, adaptation, and survival through the slave trade. Though speculative, the conversations reflected something crucial. People were engaging with science, not passively, but personally. And that, scientists noted, was rare. Policy and preparedness. In response to both excitement and concern, the Guadeloupe Ministry of Health established a new genetic equity committee. Their mandate, ensure all genetic data collected locally is de-identified and ethically protected. Educate the public on genetic privacy rights. Work with French national databases to ensure Guadeloupean and Caribbean donors are flagged for rare typing. Explore building a localized rare blood registry for the French West Indies. They also invested in cryopreservation infrastructure on the island. In the event that someone with ERY47 is discovered, they can now store their own blood safely without shipping it overseas. This level of preparedness was unprecedented, and it all began with a single woman's unmatched blood. The cultural shift in medicine. Before ERY47, genetic medicine was often seen in Guadeloupe as something that happened out there, in Paris, in Geneva, in elite institutions far removed from island life. Now, it was happening at home. Young medical students who once considered careers abroad were suddenly applying to local programs. Biology clubs at high schools began inviting EFS speakers. Local journalists learned how to interpret sequencing data so they could report accurately. Science, for the first time, wasn't a foreign language. It was being translated through cultural pride. The woman with Guada negative wasn't just a case file. She was a symbol of possibility. The next generation. The most hopeful development came from the next generation. In May 2025, a 17-year-old student named Malika Jean-Baptiste won a regional science fair for a project titled Blood and Identity, Mapping the Future of Caribbean Genetics. Her project proposed a future where Caribbean children were routinely screened for rare antigens, not to label them, but to protect them, where family trees could include bloodline markers alongside surnames, where knowing your blood wasn't just medical, it was cultural knowledge. She ended her presentation with a simple sentence: maybe the future of global medicine is waiting to be discovered in a place just like this. A discovery still unfolding. The ERY-47 case is still ongoing. The woman who carries it remains the only confirmed human with the full antigenic profile, but testing continues, and each month brings a chance that a second match will emerge. Until then, she remains singular. But the island that raised her is no longer on the scientific margins. It is, in many ways, at the very center. Science rarely celebrates silence. It thrives on replication, proof that what was discovered once can be found again. So when the Guadeloupean woman was confirmed to carry the ERY-47 blood group, researchers felt both awe and urgency. It was a discovery of global significance, but it was also deeply fragile. She remained the only one. No compatible donors, no family members confirmed to carry it, no population cluster to trace. Not yet. This chapter follows the ongoing search across continents, blood banks, ancestral databases, and islands for another person with the same ultra-rare blood group, not just to validate a scientific anomaly, but to ensure that no one remains alone in medical risk. Because medicine, at its core, is about preparing for the future, and ERY-47 has only just been found. Expanding the net, Caribbean-wide screening. Following the discovery, the Établissement Français du Sang, EFS, and the Guadeloupe Regional Health Agency launched the first formal ERY-47 screening initiative in the Caribbean in early 2025. But they quickly realized something profound. They were unprepared for the scope of the search. Unlike other rare blood types, ERY-47 wasn't just a known mutation to scan for. It was a completely new antigen caused by a mutation in a gene, PIGZ, not traditionally associated with red blood cell typing. That meant standard blood screening tools wouldn't catch it. It required DNA-based diagnostics, specifically next-generation sequencing, NGS, and whole exome analysis. Expensive, time-consuming, not widely available in rural or resource-limited settings. Still, they began, slowly, carefully, The program was extended to Martinique and French Guiana, Saint Lucia and Dominica through research partnerships, Haiti with support from Doctors Without Borders, Suriname and parts of Trinidad due to overlapping genetic lineages. These countries all shared one thing in common, a history of African displacement and Creole intermixing. If ERY47 was inherited, the roots might lie in this genetic diaspora. Family tracing, a journey in silence. Back in Guadeloupe, genetic counselors began working closely with the ERY47 woman and her extended family. Siblings, cousins, even distant relatives were tested. No full matches. One partial match, a maternal niece, showed a similar GPI anchor mutation, but lacked the full antigenic expression required to be classified under ERY47. Still, this clue hinted at hereditary transmission. The mutation likely began several generations ago, silently passed down in a lineage yet to be mapped fully. Records from the 19th century plantation era, fragmented and sparse, revealed little. Many surnames were colonial impositions. Slaves were renamed. Family units were often separated. The trail of bloodline ancestry was obscured by history itself. One researcher summarized it bluntly. We're trying to trace a genetic ghost through a forest of burned paper. Crossing the Atlantic, the West African link. Given the African origin of most Caribbean peoples, it was logical to extend the search to West Africa, particularly Benin, Togo, Ghana, and Nigeria, where many enslaved ancestors of Guadeloupeans originate. In mid-2025, a partnership between the EFS and the West African Blood Consortium, WABC, launched a pilot project in Accra, Ghana. Blood samples were collected from over 2,000 donors with Ewe and Yoruba ancestry, ethnic groups historically linked to the Caribbean diaspora. Preliminary findings were both encouraging and mystifying. Two individuals showed partial antigenic similarity to ERY47, enough to trigger weak reactions in lab conditions, but not sufficient to confirm full compatibility. Genetic testing revealed variants of the PIGZ gene, though not the exact mutation found in the Guadeloupean case. It raised a new hypothesis. Could ERY47 be a Caribbean-specific evolution, a mutation born after displacement shaped by centuries of isolation, diet, or climate? If so, it would be a genetic legacy forged by the trauma of colonization. A bloodline that didn't survive transatlantic slavery, but emerged from it. The role of the Caribbean diaspora. Another critical branch of the search is through the Caribbean diaspora, particularly in cities like Paris, London, Montreal, New York, Miami. In these urban centers, millions of people with Caribbean heritage live, often unaware of their ancestral complexity. Blood banks in France, Canada, and the UK began adding optional ERY47 markers to rare blood registries, especially for donors who self-identify as Afro-Caribbean. In Toronto, one case caught attention. A woman of Jamaican and Guadeloupean descent had a history of transfusion reactions, despite being ABO and RH compatible. Upon further testing, her blood showed a GPI anchor irregularity, though not a confirmed ERY47 mutation. Still, it was enough to keep researchers hopeful. The diaspora, it seemed, was not just a cultural network, it was a genetic reservoir. Technology meets heritage, the ancestry genome model. To speed the search, a new model was developed at the Université de Nantes, the Ancestry Genome Mapping System, AGMS. It used AI to identify micromutations in red blood cell-related genes across databases, cross-reference these with known ethnic migration histories, predict likely zones of ERY47 presence based on DNA similarity clusters. A GMS flagged elevated likelihoods in the mountainous interior of Dominica, Eastern Street Vincent, isolated fishing villages along the northern coast of Guadeloupe. A new theory was born. ERY47 may be a founder mutation introduced by a single ancestor and amplified through generations of relative genetic isolation. The search now was not just global, it was topographical. The emotional toll. But behind the science, there's another truth. This is a lonely pursuit. For the woman at the center of the story, every update is both hope and pressure. She knows her blood could save no one but herself. She knows there's no backup. She's been called unique, a miracle, a genetic outlier. But sometimes, she says, it feels like being an endling, the last of her kind. She once told a nurse, "I don't want to be a science chapter. I want to be part of a family again, even if it's just through blood." Her words are quiet, but the entire global effort is now echoing them. Building a global registry for the unseen. By late 2025, researchers from over a dozen countries had signed on to the Global Rare Antigen Registry, GRAR, an initiative designed not just for ERY47, but for all ultra-rare blood types. It includes centralized DNA data, voluntary and encrypted, artificial intelligence tools for pattern recognition, emergency protocols for autologous banking, cultural sensitivity guidelines for working with minority populations. The long-term goal? No one will ever again be the only match to themselves. Searching still. No confirmed ERY47 match has been found as of this writing, but every sample, every story, every discovery of a partial mutation is a step closer. And perhaps that's what this chapter in science and humanity is really about. Not isolation, not anomaly, but connection waiting to happen. The story of ERY47, or GWADA negative, begins with a blood test and a question. Why doesn't this woman match anyone? It ends not with an answer, but with a vision of what medicine might become because of her. This final chapter looks forward. It asks how one unique blood group could push medicine beyond its current boundaries into personalized transfusion, gene-edited blood, lab-grown red cells, and a future where no one is left unmatchable. Because science isn't just about classification, it's about invention. And the rarest blood type on Earth has become a blueprint for the future of saving lives. The problem with rare blood. Globally, millions of people live with rare blood types. Most never know until an emergency, a surgery, or a complication reveals it. Standard blood banking relies on population probability, the idea that there will always be enough donors in the system to match most patients. But as new antigens like ERY47 are discovered, that assumption becomes fragile. For people like the Guadeloupean woman who has no compatible donor, medicine has no response, unless the future offers one. Lab-grown blood, the rise of synthetic transfusions. In late 2023, a team of researchers at the University of Bristol and NHS Blood and Transplant successfully transfused lab-grown red blood cells into human volunteers for the first time. These weren't artificial blood substitutes. They were real red cells, grown from stem cells in a lab, genetically matched to the recipient. The implications were seismic. It meant that for people with extremely rare blood types, we could theoretically harvest stem cells from their own body, grow those into red cells, transfuse them without risk of rejection. The Guadeloupe woman's blood has already been cryopreserved and partially sequenced, making her a candidate for this kind of therapy. It's not yet scalable. Growing even one unit of red blood takes 3 weeks, specialized media, and high costs. But the technology is accelerating. Within a decade, personalized transfusions grown from a patient's own genetic code may be possible for rare blood types like ERY47. For the first time, the idea of being your own infinite donor is within reach. CRISPR and blood compatibility. Another breakthrough comes from CRISPR gene editing, the Nobel Prize-winning technology that allows scientists to cut and rewrite DNA with surgical precision. In Japan and the U.S., researchers are experimenting with universal donor red cells created by editing out surface antigens that trigger immune responses. The vision, blood that can be transfused into anyone without rejection. But for someone like the ERY47 woman, CRISPR opens a different door. Could we genetically match donor cells to her unique antigen profile? By editing stem cells from a compatible person or even a donor with a close enough match, it might be possible to engineer red cells that mirror her own. It would require mapping her unique PIGZ mutation, designing a compatible GPI anchor expression, producing edited cells that carry the ERY47 antigen safely. Still theoretical, still years away, but no longer science fiction. Blood banks of the future. Blood banks today are refrigerators and freezers. Blood banks of the future may be bioreactors, DNA archives, and 3D printed scaffolds, growing cells from gene templates. Already, forward-thinking institutions are designing ultra-rare donor registries based on full genomic profiles, autologous blood libraries for people with rare profiles, on-demand blood farms that produce personalized red cells in days instead of months. France's EFS, the UK's NHS Blood and Transplant, and the US NIH have all invested in next-generation compatibility tools that use AI to flag anomalies, predict antigen conflicts, and match patients not just by blood type, but by whole genome similarity. And it's not just for transfusions, organ transplants, cancer therapies, fetal medicine. All are now integrating personalized immunology. The future is your blood, your blueprint. Ethics and identity in a genomic world. With these advancements come heavy questions. If we can edit blood, should we? If we can store your DNA and grow your red cells, who owns your bloodline? For the woman with ERY47, whose antigen is found in no one else, her blood is now intellectual property, mapped, sequenced, protected. Her privacy is closely guarded. But her story raises a bigger point. How do we protect identity in a world where blood is code and code is currency? Bioethicists argue that future blood systems must be consent-based, culturally sensitive, owned by the individual, not the institution. After all, if your blood is the rarest in the world, shouldn't it be yours to control? A shift in medical philosophy. More than any one innovation, ERY47 has changed the way doctors think. No longer is blood typing basic medicine. It is now seen as a living, evolving science, deeply connected to ancestry, population genetics, and equity. Every medical school in France now teaches ERY47 as part of the updated immunohematology curriculum. The case is used to emphasize underrepresented populations in clinical trials, teach the limitations of standard diagnostics, promote global diversity in genetic research. It's a reminder that the edges of the map still hold mysteries, and that even one patient, quiet, healthy, living her life in the Caribbean, can force the world to redraw its scientific assumptions. One woman, one legacy. She remains unnamed in the press, but her blood has changed medicine. She has stored enough of her own blood to survive most emergencies. She has met with scientists, geneticists, and health ministers, but she chooses to live quietly. She once said to a doctor, "If someone else is out there like me, I hope they never need to know." Not because it's a burden, but because needing blood means needing help. And help until now didn't exist for her, but it may for the next person because of her. The final word. The story of GWADA negative is not just a medical anomaly. It's a warning, a wake-up call, and a seed of revolution. It tells us that medicine still has blind spots, that people in the margins carry breakthroughs, that science isn't finished, not with blood, not with us. Most of all, it tells us that the future of transfusion isn't just about bags and tubes. It's about identity. It's about equity. It's about a world where every person, no matter how rare, can be seen, known, and saved.